Welcome to the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada for Sunday, April 14th, 2024, the third Sunday of Easter. Thank you for joining us and we pray that you'll feel God's presence wherever you are.
Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from Acts 3, verses 12 to 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have murder given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." The response of Psalm 4. "Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer."
"How long, you people, shall I honor suffer shame? My long will you words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him."
"When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your bed and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord."
"There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord."
"You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound."
"I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety."
And the last reading from chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous."
Our next hymn is a new hymn. Goes along with the reading that we have just heard. How deep the Father's love for us. The words will appear before you on the screen, and you are invited to join the choir as you feel comfortable with the hymn. So Minna will play it through, the whole hymn through as the introduction, and then we will sing the hymn.
Thank you.
you're not going to sing with us because you don't have the words. A problem has arisen. However, the choir is going to sing it.
Yeah, we're going to try.
They've at least had a couple of days to listen to a YouTube video, so they may know it. Or I may be singing a solo this morning. Come along with me as you feel comfortable, choir. We will sing the hymn for you. Thank you, choir. Sounded wonderful. And we'll try to bring that hymn back to the congregation in a couple of weeks. But hopefully you noted that it is really based upon the words of the reading that we just heard from 1 John chapter 3. We turn now to this morning's gospel lesson, taken from Luke chapter 24. We read verses 36b to 38. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name in all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Always surprising. The thing about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus is that they are always surprising. In these days while Jesus walked the earth between Easter and the day of Ascension, the scriptures record many instances when Jesus appears to his disciples. And always, the disciples are taken by surprise. Last week we heard about the 10 who were locked away in the upper room on that first week after Jesus' crucifixion and how Jesus had come to them. Then we heard how Jesus came again to Thomas to assuage his doubt, and they all of them experienced the risen Jesus. They were locked away, unexpecting, afraid, and surprised. Today we read of Jesus eating with two of his disciples, the two with whom he had traveled on that journey between Jerusalem and Emmaus. Throughout these many hours in which they walked and talked with each other, the disciples were unperceiving that it was Jesus right beside them. And the gospel writer tells us that when Jesus greets them with the words, "Peace be with you," that then these disciples recognize Jesus, but they are startled, terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And for us, 2,000 years later, reading these stories with all of the tradition of the church in between us and them, I think it's fair to say that each year we're surprised too. Surprised, perhaps, that the risen Jesus walks with his disciples. Surprised that the disciples did not recognize Jesus as we hope that they would on this long walk along the road. Surprised, perhaps, that Jesus still walks with his disciples, those who continue to claim his name as Christians. It is surprising, all of these things. And yet it's not. As we look back at the historical record, the biblical record, we ought not be surprised that the disciples' reaction to the risen Christ was what it was. You see, resurrection is something that is outside of our human experience. Indeed, for Jesus to be raised from the dead, it required God himself to intervene into human history, to remove the immovable stone that blocks the threshold between life and death. It required the intervention of God himself to breathe life back into Jesus' body made of clay. And so the disciples' reactions ought not be surprising. They are logical. They are experience-based learning, if you're in the educational trade. It is far more logical to believe that the women on Easter morning simply went to the wrong tomb. than that a Jesus would be raised from the dead. It's far more logical to assume that the gardener perhaps had moved the body. It's far more logical to believe that maybe somebody, the Romans perhaps, had stolen it from the grave, or that the Jesus who walked through the locked door was some ghostly apparition rather than the bodily resurrection of the Son of God. And yet time and time again, Jesus appears and greets his disciples, always with the same words, "Peace be with you." And he breathes his spirit into their frightened souls, showing them his corporal wounds on his hands and his feet, eating fish to feed his body. And slowly, 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 the disciples come to have faith in what stands right in front of them, that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is present with them. And as that realization dawns upon them, the disciples too are transformed from doubters to observers, from observers to witnesses. Indeed, that's why we are surprised, I think, by the Easter stories that we hear in these few weeks that exist between Easter and Ascension. We are surprised because we know that the disciples do finally get it. We know that it is because of the testimony of these disciples that we have come to faith. In word, through scripture, and in the tradition of the church, they have brought the faith to us, and we believe. And so it's sometimes surprising when we observe the disciples struggling to believe. And just as the disciples were transformed from fearful and startled people to witnesses of the risen Christ, we too have been called and equipped to be witnesses. We too have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, literally breathed into by the Holy Spirit, so that we too can comprehend the deep, deep love of God that reaches into our human reality and turns it upside down so that we might know life and love, life and love, as only God can give it. And having received that wonderful gift, we cannot remain silent. It's a gift that is ours to give. For we, like the disciples before them, are witnesses. In the letter of John that we read this morning, the author of that letter reminds us of this great gift that we have received, and that this gift cannot leave us unchanged. That God's love changes everything. That we are empowered to overcome the power of sin in our lives because we have seen the one who defeats sin for us. That we will live new lives because the great love of God, because of the great love of God that we have seen and experienced. And those lives, new lives, will stand out and others will notice, and we will be witnesses. Our calling is to reach out with compassion, just as Jesus did, to speak into the lives of those who are startled, those who are abandoned, those who are afraid, because those were the people to whom Jesus spoke. Sometimes there are happy coincidences. or the Spirit moves. I'm never quite sure. But when something shows up on the internet, I'm more tempted to say it's a happy coincidence than the movement of the Spirit, but perhaps I'm wrong. And in either way, interpret it as you will. Just yesterday, I received an email devotion that I subscribe to, which contained a quotation from Norman Borlaug. I think I said his last name right, B-O-R-L-A-U-G. You probably have never heard of Norman Borlaug, and you're sitting there thinking, who is Norman Borlaug? I'd never heard of him either, but I should have. He was an American agronomist. He's the father of the Green Movement, the movement to increase food production in the world, and he is a Nobel laureate. So we should know his name. And as part of that little devotional, there was this quotation that reads as follows. Borlaug wrote, "Almost certainly, however, the first essential component of social justice is adequate food for all mankind. Food is the moral right of all who are born into this world." Sit with that for a minute. Sit with that and then think back. Think back to Advent, when we gathered here and we heard Mary's song, the Magnificat. Think back to beyond the Magnificat, to the prophecies of the prophet Isaiah, upon which Mary's song is based. And that great series of blessings and curses in the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 2, when God's judgment is being meted out upon God's children, the judgment that will lead them into the exile. Sit with that and think about the life of Jesus and how many times Jesus' ministry was revealed to people as they sat together at a table and broke bread together. Think about our very reading this morning when Jesus turns to his disciples and asks, "Have you anything to eat?" In amongst all of those passages and so many more in Scripture is the call for justice, to clothe and to feed and to lift up those who are downtrodden and to care for the world. That is our calling. And as we do those things, the promise that we receive in 1 John, the promise that we receive as we read through Scripture and we observe the lives of faithful people throughout millennia, is that when we have seen and experienced the love and the life that God gives us, that we are changed and others will notice. That like ripples when a drop of water falls into a pond. Bet you've been wondering why that image has been there all morning, haven't you? Like ripples that extend out as a drop of water alights into a pond. We spread out the faith as we live it in our lives, and others will see it and recognize it. And through the leading of the Spirit, be moved to follow. That is how it has been for millennia. And will be how it will be for millennia yet to come. But it all begins now. And it all begins here. And it all begins with you. Because you are witnesses. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Scriptures and Sermon Podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. If you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe so you can get new episodes each week. Be sure to check out our website, stjohnscornwall.ca, where you can find links to our social media pages and more information on our ministry. Until next time, God bless.